a story in the Bible about a city God had prepared that a man could run to. When he found himself in trouble, a time of great despair, fleeing from the one who sought his life. And there outside that city, he cried to the keeper and asked if he could enter in. For there he would find safety. Yes, God had made provision, a city of refuge for him. Condemned from the fall of man, I was bound in sin, with a debt to be paid. But God cared for me, and on Mount Calvary the foundation was laid. And on the cross Christ stretched out his hand, that mighty gulf he spanned, and bought my liberty. Now I can run to God's only Son. He is the city of refuge for me. One day I ran to that city of refuge. Though guilty I was, I found shelter in the blood he shed for me. I was condemned, but God showed mercy. And on Calvary, God built a city of refuge for me. One day I ran to that city of refuge. Though guilty I was, I found shelter in the blood he shed for me. I was condemned, but God showed mercy. And on Calvary, God built a city of refuge for me. I was condemned, but God showed mercy. And on Calvary, God built a city of refuge for me.
Well, for that city of refuge and that picture of salvation the Lord shows us. Take your Bibles, please, and we're going to turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 5. And I'd like to ask you to stand as you find that in your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22. Read this passage again as we start this, our Sunday nights for this year, about presenting a glorious church to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22. As you find that, we'll follow along as we read this passage this evening. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse number 22, the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." What a beautiful picture of Christ's love for the church, and what an example it is for the husband's love to the wife and a wife to her husband. Christ is our ultimate example. Amen? He is our ultimate example in his love that he gave himself for the church. He loves the church. Amen? He started the church. He gave his life for the church. He loves the church unlike any other person. And he gives us a challenge in this passage in verse number 27 about the church, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. I believe and I pray that our church would be pleasing in God's sight. Right? That our church would be pleasing in God's sight each and every day. Not in years past, but today, that God would be pleased. This morning, that God would be pleased. Tonight, that God would be pleased with Shasta Baptist Church. Let's ask for the Lord's blessing as we get to the message tonight. We do thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for your blessings and ask for your help and submit to you and ask for your power as they get the opportunity and the privilege to preach your word. I humbly ask for your help. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We'll turn to a couple different passages tonight, but we looked at, as we start each of these Sunday nights, about what would the Lord look for in a church that is presentable to him, presenting a glorious church to him, not presentable to the world. The world doesn't know what a church should be like. You know that? The world's idea of church is like a nightclub, and that's not what people are looking for today. That's not making a difference in this world, the nightclub type of a church where it's sing and praise and dance and a light show and you go home. It's not making a difference in this world. You say, but they're packed out, but it's not making a difference. Amen? That's not pleasing in God's sight. I can't look at that and say, that's exactly what Christ would want the church to be. No, that's not. What would be presentable to God's sight? Number one, a spiritual church. A spiritual church. Not spiritual on the outside, but on the inside. I believe they go hand in hand. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart, that we would make sure our heart is right with God before we even step on the property. You say, I'm not teaching a class, that your heart would be right before you step on the property. Say, I'm just taking the offering, that your heart would be right before you even step on the property, that you'd say, God, would you please speak to my heart? Brother Crocker, you're sitting down in the lower and with the lower folks down here. His son is here, and he comes. He's not used to seeing Brother Crocker down here. Threw me off for a minute. Anyway, a spiritual church. You're not spiritual because you attend church. You're not spiritual because you own seven Bibles or you wear a suit or a dress. I will say that we were out yesterday in the Sacramento area, and there was four ladies walking away in dresses, and I thought, there are people, right? You don't see that very often. But wearing a certain type of clothing doesn't make you a spiritual person. I believe that those are signs of being a spiritual person. Too many times we are focused on the outward appearance, but God is focusing on the heart, and God changes us from the inside out. Are you walking with God, church? Do you have a real relationship and a walk with God in Bible and prayer, that you be spiritual, Holy Spirit-led, and living a clean and a holy life? If we could be anything, church, may we be spiritual. We may or may not ever be the biggest church in town. I strive that we would continue to grow, that more folks would come to hear the gospel. We may never be the biggest church, but may we be the most right with God. Right? And it's not a badge that you wear, and it's not some, you know, a name tag that you have, but between you and God, are things right with you and the Lord? That's just between you and God. A spiritual church. But number two, I believe the church that's presentable to the Lord is a soul-winning church. A soul-winning church near and dear to the heart of God is preaching the gospel to every creature. Before Jesus Christ returned to heaven, he gave the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, that is the purpose of Shasta Baptist Church. Every ministry that we have is to get the gospel to this lost and dying world. Every bus that's run, every rescue mission service, every nursing home, from the nursery to the ushers to the sound booth, it's all about getting the gospel to a lost and a dying world. But Shasta Baptist Church, it better not be just what others do. May it be personal to us that I am going soul winning, that I'm giving the gospel out and praying for souls and seeing souls saved. I hope it bothers you when you don't get to see a soul saved over a number of days or a week or a month. May it bother you that you are no doubt going around people that are lost every single day. Every day. Are we praying? Are we looking? Are we witnessing to the lost all around us? Shasta Baptist Church, we better never lose our fire for getting the gospel out. May we never forget our purpose of getting the gospel out. I challenged you with this last week that to be a soul-winning church, to have a gospel focus in every ministry. Have a gospel focus in every single ministry. You say, but we don't preach in the nursery. We should be getting the gospel to those young people in the nursery and somehow singing and telling Bible stories and getting a Bible verse, turn the preaching up on the TV and wake up the little babies in there. Don't do that. A gospel focus in every ministry. Every ministry we have is to get the gospel to Redding, California. Every ministry. That's our purpose. That's our focus. I hope you're praying and serving and your heart is that direction. I challenge you with this last week. Commit to a weekly soul-winning ministry. Commit to come to a week. You say, I can't come on Saturday morning. Men's soul-winning on Tuesday night. Teens soul-winning on Wednesday night. Saturday morning soul-winning. If you can't come to one of those, at least dedicate a time. Find someone to go with. Go knocking on doors. Find a time to get the gospel out. Saturday morning, you say, it's my day off. I know. And to be honest, I feel for you. You work 5 days and you come Saturday morning and then serve on Sunday. That's a busy week. But in eternity, we'll never think I wasted a Saturday morning and a soul came to know Christ. Last night, one of our college students texted me and said, praise the Lord, I got to lead one of my coworkers to the Lord. And they had an extra time on their break time and said, I got to tell someone about Jesus Christ. I said, praise the Lord, keep it going. One more soul to Christ. One more soul to Christ. Church, may it be our focus and our purpose. Number three, I preached about this. Be soul conscious at every service. You come to church, don't just sit in your seat, talk to your same two or three people and go in and ignore everyone around you. You see visitors, go talk to them. Amen? You see visitors, go talk to them. You know, how'd you come? I didn't know the relation. I thought maybe it was a case. We had a couple here sitting in the middle and was their teenage boy sitting over here this morning. I didn't realize that until later. I didn't get to talk to them before they left. They snuck out the side door. Maybe it's because of what I preach. I'm not sure. And some of you, there were some jokes going around this morning with that. I didn't get a chance to talk to them, though. And that bothers me that I don't get a chance to talk to every visitor that comes. Sometimes they come in right before it starts and leave right when it ends. And it's hard to catch them at times. That's why every person needs to be soul conscious. Every person. You're on a bus route. Be soul conscious. I love hearing about kids getting saved on the way to church and the way back from church. Amen? That's a blessing. Be soul conscious. Be looking. Be thinking, I wonder if they're saved. I've never talked to them yet. And if you're on this side, you've never talked to the people on this side over here before, you can talk to each other. It's okay. I'm just joking. Be a witness everywhere that you go. Get a gospel track and be a witness everywhere that you go. Give them a track. Invite people to come. Get the gospel out everywhere that you go. So I challenge you, church, that we be spiritual, we be soul winning. And then tonight, I want to give you a challenge about being a serving church. A serving church. Turn back to Matthew chapter 23, verse number 11 and 12. Matthew 23, verse number 11 and 12. That we be a serving church. Have you noticed there's a few places to serve at Shasta Baptist Church? A few hundred, that is. There are many places. Sunday morning, it's a busy place. People coming and going everywhere, getting ready to serve, jumping on buses, going to Sunday school classes, and the nursery, and the ushering, and the sound booth, and getting things ready, and lights on, and cleaning. There is a lot going on a Sunday morning, and I love it. I love it. I love coming in. And I'm looking around. Is everything set up? Is it ready? We're ready for church today. I love coming to church. I love serving and getting to serve the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That's why we're here, church. We're here to serve the Lord. We're here to serve God. In Matthew chapter 23, verse number 11 and 12, the Bible says this, verse number 11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your what, church? Your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. In this passage at the beginning, Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees and the scribes, and he was rebuking the hypocrisy of the religious people of the day because they served to get a name badge and a title. There's a lot of people, if you're looking for a title, don't bother serving in a ministry. It won't last. It's not about a title, because guess what? The title of bus driver sounds fun, until it's 35 degrees and the bus isn't warming up, or it's 115 degrees and the AC isn't working and the kids are loud, and it's not as exciting if it's just a title. But if you want to be a servant, if you want to serve, there's a place for you. Some were looking for titles. Some were just there to speak and proclaim what others should do, but they didn't do it themselves. That's a hypocrite. You should do it, but I don't. Hey, don't tell others to do something that you wouldn't do yourselves. I understand not everyone can do everything, and you have to delegate at some point. But they were telling others what to do and not doing it themselves. They were serving to be seen of men, not to be pleased and to give glory to the Lord. He was rebuking the wrong type of servants, and he said this in the middle of this passage. And don't worry, after verse number 12, he went on rebuking the hypocrites over and over and over again. But in verse 11 and 12, he paused to talk about what a real servant was. He that is greatest among you will be your servant. I believe that we have some real and true servants at Shasta Baptist Church. People that serve, not looking for recognition, not looking for a title or a thank you or a note or a gift, just there to serve. Just there to show up and to do their part, to open a library, to get the lights on, to cover the piano, to close the gates, to make sure things are locked up. The small things that are big things in the eyes of the Lord. To straighten a songbook or to pass an offering plate or to run the sound booth. There's many, many places to serve. And I believe a spiritual and a godly church is a serving church. What is a servant? A servant is a person that attends to another for the purpose of performing menial offices for him. They're employed by another for such offices for other labor. A servant differs from a slave. A servant's subjection to a master is voluntary. The slave is not. Every slave is a servant, but every servant's not a slave. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I don't have to serve God. I get to serve God. I hope that's our prayer and our desire in our heart. I don't have to do this. You know, who said I've got to do this and I've got to go and why didn't they clean it up? You ever gotten a bad attitude serving God before? Put your hand up. No, don't do that, all right? I've done that. You have. You know, why did I? They should have. And why, you know, we've all been there before. Hey, I don't have to serve God. I get to. Sometimes I get that wrong attitude and God says, hey, you get to serve me today. You get to serve me. You get to clean up or straighten things up or help people with problems or whatever it may be. You get to be a servant for me. Hey, I'd rather be a servant for the Lord than a servant of the devil any day. Right? A slave to the devil, I should say. I get to serve the Lord. If you serve sin, you are a slave to sin. And you're a slave to Satan. I get to serve God. Looking around, there's people that are serving every single Sunday. And I look up to you. You're my heroes. I look up to how you serve the Lord. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus called unto him and saith to them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, but their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, another name for a servant. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. And then it says this in verse number 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ never told you to do anything that he did not do himself. He didn't say, I want you to serve, but I'm not going to serve. Hey, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came to earth, and he didn't come to be served. Hey, Jesus came to serve others. What an example. He came to wash the feet of the disciples, and as Peter said, don't wash my feet. Jesus came to wash his feet. A lowly task. I don't want to wash anybody's feet. No one's, all right? Your children, at some point, you're like, this is strange. You wash your own feet now, okay? But Jesus Christ, he came to minister to others. He came for us. He came to be a servant for you and for me. As a servant, he died on the cross to give his life, a ransom for many. If Jesus Christ gave his all for us, is there anything too much that God could ask for you or for me? Or is there anything too little he could ask for you and me? You think, some may think, I only want the big jobs, the important jobs. I don't want the little jobs. Hey, there's no little job before the Lord. There's no little job. You give a cup of water to a child in the Lord's name, you'll have your blessing and your reward in the name of God. There's nothing too big or too small for God. I get to serve the Lord. John 12, 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. If you serve me, my Father, he said, it will honor you. You think, well, I've been serving, for some of you, 20, 30, 40 years in the same ministries. What a testimony that is. What a testimony. We have kids that come back all the time or that we meet. They came on our buses and came to Sunday school classes. And what do they do when they come? They say, I remember my bus captain and my Sunday school teacher. And they tell about eating pickles and the gross things you do in your classes, whatever they do. They remember that you were a servant, that you taught them the Word of God. And you see them, they come back on a regular basis and they're looking for you. And what a blessing it is to say they're still serving. They're still in the same class or on the same bus, and they're still serving the Lord. What a blessing that is. The greatest of all is the servant of all, serving the Lord first. If you're going to be a servant, serving God first. That's our goal. Remember, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. If you're going to serve anyone, serve God. Serve God. We better be careful that we don't become men pleasers just to serve people and do it only because someone asked me. Well, if you only serve when someone's watching, what about when they're not watching? What about when they don't ask? But what about when you serve God? See, that's for a lifetime. That's for a lifetime when you serve God from your heart. Say, I want to serve you, Lord. You serve God, and then you serve others. You serve others. Say, well, what about when people come to serve me? I don't see that in the Bible. Well, I want to be served. I want people to take. I've been taking care of people long enough. I've been doing this. Someone else should do it. There's a time and a place. I understand. There's a time where it's not a bad thing if someone says, you need to step down because it's not safe anymore. I don't want you to hurt yourself or someone. There's a time and a place. And many times it breaks the heart of a servant that's been serving the Lord for years and for decades and say, let me find another place for you. To serve others. Look to serve. Look to serve others in church in this area. Look to be a servant. Let me give you a few areas where it shows to have a servant's heart, being a church that is serving. Number one, a servant is always ready to volunteer. A servant is always ready to volunteer. You've been there before where you go to work or youth group, and when you are a youth pastor, you have like 30 kids that are ready to serve at any moment and are jumping. See, I need someone to help me with something, and they haven't told you the task yet. Are you going to volunteer? I need someone to help me. I need 3 people, 5 people. I need someone to come help me for a minute. And you're like, I don't want to volunteer. I don't know what the job is. I don't know what I'm getting myself into. A volunteer, they're always ready to serve. Always ready. Say, you need to help on the buses? I'm ready to volunteer. We passed out our handout for the ministry night, and people volunteered, and we're going through those still and getting people lined up. And some have already been asking, how can I help? When can I start? I love to hear that. People that are volunteering and ready to serve. Because guess what? There's many places to serve. 37 or 38 kids and King's Kids on Wednesday night. And I told Brother Safner, I said, that was a good number of workers. He goes, no, we need more workers over there. There's a lot of kids over there. We need more servants. We need more volunteers. We need people to do the work of the Lord. See, a servant's ready to volunteer. They don't have to be forced or bribed, because that's illegal. We're volunteers. We're not allowed to pay you, all right? But the willingly volunteering to help in the areas that sometimes others don't want to help. You know, that one area where no one really wants to do that, but someone's got to do it. Someone's got to do it, and someone says, hey, there's a toilet that's plugged and church has started. And you think, oh, who else is around me that I can ask to do it? And you think, Lord, I guess you found me. I guess I got to figure out a way to get this done. Servant volunteers to help in areas that others don't want to help. Many times volunteers over-volunteer. There's a number of people that they have 6, 8, 10 areas of ministry, and at some point we got to say, that's enough. You can't do any more. Why? Because you can only spread yourself so thin. You can't be everywhere at once, right? And at some point you have to relinquish duties or train someone to take your place so that you can serve in another area. You have to be careful not to over-volunteer. Why? Because you cannot give your full effort to the areas where God has for you to serve. And at some point, you do have to prioritize and be ready for those areas. A volunteer, a servant, is always ready to volunteer. Number two, a servant always gives their best. I didn't ask him to sing that song tonight, but I was thinking, the Lord put that in place, our best, our best. When we come to church, give your best. Give your best. God's work deserves our very best, doesn't it? I'm not against giving your best to your employer, and you should give your best to your employer. You should be the best employee. Hands down, you should be the best employee. But no one should get better service than God. Amen? You ever go to a business and a restaurant, and you're like, I'm invisible. They don't even know I'm here. I have a waiter I haven't seen in 15 minutes. I've asked for something, it never came, and it's the worst service. You're like, why am I even here? I'm going to leave. I'm not paying my tab. Don't leave without paying your bill. And don't give people a hard time. Keep a good testimony. But then you go to the places where you get good service, and you're like, wow, that was great service. You don't get that often, do you? You don't get great service often. You're like, that was great. Tip them good. Tell them about the Lord. Invite them to church. You know, be a good testimony. But someone that gave their best. You know those that are there, that they're really not there to serve. They're just doing it for the dollar. And others that are giving their best. If we're coming to the house of the Lord, church, let's give our very best. You've heard it said before, but good enough for what? Government work. We don't do that here. You know, oh, it's good enough. You know what it means? It could have been done better. Now, is anything going to be done perfect? No, it's not. But we should strive to do our very best before the Lord and say, God deserves our best. Our very best. Our building should look the best. Our classes should be run the best. Our buses should look the very best. We shouldn't settle for subpar. Amen? We shouldn't settle for subpar. We should give our very best. God's work deserves our best, not just skating by. God's house should look the best. Everything should be the very best that we can do, not for ourselves, but for the Lord. Number three, a servant is reliable. A servant is reliable. You understand this in a church where it's made up of many, many, many volunteers and laborers and staff, where everyone has to do their job. But it's amazing how one person that doesn't show up, one person doesn't do their job, and in a moment, one area affects so many other people and so many other areas because something wasn't done and the job wasn't related to another person. A servant is someone that can be counted on. You know those people that they are going to be in their place. They are going to be counted on. If they're sick, they're going to let you know. Get someone to fill their place. They are reliable. Hey, let's play as a servant. Let's be reliable. Let's be counted on. 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found, what? Faithful. Faithful. There's something to say about someone that just shows up over and over and over again, does their job, and many times they think, what do I really do? Does this mean that much? Yes, it does. You say it's a small task, no one notices, no one even comes. Your job matters. Just be found faithful. The Bible says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? It's hard to find people that are faithful today. It's hard to find people that are reliable, trusted on. They're going to show up to work, do their job. They're going to clock in and clock out and do everything and go over and above, and they are just reliable. Society is really dumbing down, and it's really, the character is falling apart. We're training young people. We're training the next generation of servants to serve and to do your job and to be reliable. If you're not able to get a job covered, get it covered by someone that is approved. Don't ask for someone else to serve in an area where they've not been approved to serve in that area, please. But be reliable. Next, it kind of follows along with that a servant shows up early. Shows up early. I know I ruined things and we're starting church on time now and not late. And it's messing with the people that show up late and you're even later. I'm not sure how that's going to work. Have you figured it out yet? How many of you can't figure it out still? You got it figured out? I think I have. I don't want to mess it up. But starting right at 10 o'clock for Sunday school. Amen? Right at 10 o'clock, you're ready to go. You say, I've got one kid in class. Fire it off. Be excited. That one kid is going to get the best class and everyone else is going to miss out because they showed up late because you were ready to start. When? 10 o'clock. Amen. I was going to say on time, but you said 10 o'clock. That works too. Amen. If a service starts at 10, we should not show up at 10, especially if you're serving in a ministry. Don't show up at 10 o'clock. See, I'm just the helper. The helper matters. Amen? The helper matters. When you've got 15 kids in a class, the helper most definitely matters. You say, it's me against all of them. Say, there's only two of us. And well, it's two against all of them then. Show up early. Show up early. At least 15 minutes early. That's bare minimum. You're serving in a ministry at least 15 minutes early. Don't show up at 9:55 to start at 10 o'clock. That's too late. You're not ready. You're not prepared. You need to be there early. Be in your place early. You say, I'm having one of those days. We've all had them, right? And when you got kids in the house, we've all had them. You're getting ready to leave and disaster strikes and you've got every reason to, and like, Lord, help my patience. Sometimes I think, Lord, I have to preach today. I need my spirit to be right with you. I can't go to church frustrated like this. Help me, Lord. Help us. Let me ask you this. What would happen if we showed up to work late every day? He said, but it's just church. I'm not getting paid to be here. Hold on. Time out. This is the Lord's work. Amen. This is the Lord's work. We should take this. This is an eternal work. Hey, the job that you have, it provides for your home. Praise the Lord. But hey, going to church, that's an eternal work. We're laying up treasures in heaven. This is important, what we're doing here. Don't show up late. Be here early. Be here early. When you're late, you're frustrated and rushed, and you miss the songs and the announcements and the giveaways in your class or the games or whatever it is. You miss it, and your kids miss it. Get there early. Be early. Next, a servant shows up prepared. Shows up prepared. Not running in there with the dust swarming behind you and throwing the kids here and the stuff in there. And you show up and you're like, I'm here, running here to get the last five things you need. You're not prepared. You're not ready. Preparation really is the key to success. Walking with God, amen? Praying, preparing over your lesson, preparing over your bus, preparing for your bus route, whatever the ministry is that God has for you to do, prepare for it. Think ahead. Pray about it. You say, well, I'm there right on time. What if something happens and you're late and you don't have everything together? No, it's not going to go perfect every week. I get that. But be prepared. Be ready. Don't be running in last second. Let's be prepared. It's being respectful to others that you serve with as well. It's being respectful. And there's a bumper sticker, always late but worth the wait. I hate that bumper sticker. I hate it. I hate seeing it. I want to rip it off the car. If it was worth the wait, you should be here already. Amen? A servant should show up prepared, ready. It's the Lord's work. Amen? It's the Lord's work. You say, but my job isn't that important. Yes, it is. Every job isn't. You say, I'm just coming to sit in a seat. Well, go find a spot and find someone that you can encourage. Someone you can pray with. Someone that you could be a witness to or talk to someone, encourage them. A servant shows up prepared. I have a couple more points. A servant finishes the job. A servant finishes the job. If church gets done at 12 o'clock, a servant's not done at 12 o'clock. All right? You have a ministry. It's funny. Sunday mornings, the church empties out faster than any other service in the week. I think it's lunchtime. People are like, hello, goodbye, I'm out of here. And it's gone. 5 minutes, and the place is almost empty. It's amazing. And I'm thinking, I want to go get lunch too. We always think, we're going to get back early today. Never. We are never leaving early. We are almost one of the last ones here. I love it, though. It's great. But a servant finishes the job. Why? there's always something to do when the ministry is done. Amen? When the kids leave, that's not done. You know why? Because they left a lot of gifts for you all around the room. They messed up the chairs and left the papers and messed with the whiteboard and threw the trash wherever. They say, it's not my job. You're a servant, though. You're a volunteer. You say, I get to do this. Leave it completed. Completed. So what do? You straighten the chairs. You say, but hey, kids in a classroom, you can do that too. Amen? You say, but I'm not the teacher. I'm not the volunteer. Pick up the trash while you go down the row. Ask your teacher, can I help you with anything before I leave? Why? Because I want to be a servant. Amen? I want to be a servant. Finish the job. What does everyone want to do when you get done with the service? Go home, get something to eat, get some rest, get ready for tomorrow. But it's not done. Take an extra 5, 10, maybe 15 minutes and make sure your ministry is completed. Everything is put away, set up for the next hour. You think, I'll do it next time I come. The room shouldn't stay a mess for 7 days until you get back again to clean up the mess for the next classroom and wait for someone else to clean that up. Amen? I didn't get a big amen on that one, all right? We don't want to leave it for somebody else. You've all been there before. You walk in a room and you go, oh my, what happened in here? A tornado happened. I'll go in there and I think, all right, well, I guess I get to help clean up today. Not because I have to, because I get to. Take 5 minutes, straighten the chairs, clean up, turn the lights off. It's funny, you drive by the church. How many times do you see a light on through the windows in the church building when you drive by? I think, the lights are on somewhere and there's no cars. I saw lights on yesterday, but there was someone out there. Praise the Lord. They didn't get left on for no reason at all. Let me help you with this, church. Leave it cleaner than you found it. Leave it cleaner than you found it. Leave it cleaner than you found it. Don't say, I'm going to come back next week. Leave it cleaner than you found it. Why? It's the Lord's work. I don't want to leave a mess and trash and stuff laying around. Clean it up. Someone is coming behind you. I'll read these verses and then we'll finish tonight. In Colossians 3:22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men's pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. A servant serves from the heart. You serve from the heart. It's not a set of duties. It's not anything I have to do, I was forced to do. I get to serve the Lord. On Sunday night, we have so many servants that have been working in many areas all throughout the day. Look to be a servant. You say, I don't have an area to serve. Find a place to serve. Find your ministry and own it. Own it. Say, this is my ministry, not because you self-volunteered. And no one said you're allowed to do that, but taking someone else's spot, kicking them out. But find a place and say, I'm going to take care of this. This is my job. I want to be a help and a blessing. Amen? Wouldn't that be great? Serving the Lord from the heart. The Bible says the greatest of all is the servant of all. I believe we have a lot of incredible servants. Servants that just pick up the slack. You get the last minute phone call. And I hate doing that, but I know it's needed. And say, hey, someone's sick. We need a substitute teacher or helper or a bus driver or some area. Every time, almost every time, when someone's sick, yes, I'll do it right away. It's like, thank you so much. Thank you for just being a servant. We're the servants of the greatest master. Amen? We're servants of the greatest master. God is so good. Amen? I said, God is so good. Amen? Amen? He's so good. Why would I not want to serve Him? Why wouldn't I want to give Him more and give Him my best and everything that I do, not to be seen of men, but to honor the Lord? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the challenge that we need in the area of being a servant. Lord, I believe that we have a whole lot of incredible servants that are praying and serving and working and laboring in many areas, Lord. I thank you for that. Help us, Lord, as we start this year, just to recenter our focus on being a servant in every area. Being a servant, we sing our best. To be a witness, to be praying, to to make sure things are in order, to do our very best for you, Lord. Why? Because you deserve our very best. I pray, Lord, you challenge us in this area tonight. Maybe an area where some need to maybe make to be a volunteer. And other areas maybe to recommit, to be challenged, to just to do something more for the Lord.